Let's move on, because, hey, Monday, lots of boys and girls showing up all over town in Bryan, huh?
Yes, we're excited. 16,000 approximately will be coming in with smiling faces, and we're ready to get started.
Are they all going to have smiling faces? Because my thought is that they...
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, let me back up. There's going to be 16,000 parents, or students, parents, they're going to be smiling come Monday.
Okay.
How's that? We'll rephrase that a little
bit. That's probably right. Entering your third year now, obviously you came in, you had to do some evaluation, but you also probably saw some areas that you wanted to address. What were the most important things for you to address, and how do you feel like you've done with them?
Well, I think when we first came in, I said that I was going to help build relationships. Number two, look at the finance. We've worked a lot on the finance. And three, most importantly, look at our academic achievement and look where we were academically. I think that we have succeeded in those areas. I think that our area of academics have really improved a great deal. As you know, our accountability rating came in, and we didn't make it. We got not met standard was our label, and very frustrating. It's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to our school board, our community. But as we looked at those indexes, what you found is index one was the index that dealt with student achievement on the test, and what those students actually learned in the classroom and then performed upon. So when you look at that index, our children and our teachers did an absolutely amazing job. They did well on the test. The second index is in terms of academic growth. And when you look at academic growth, you see that our students and our teachers did exactly what they were supposed to in the classroom, and, man, we made the academic growth. The third index was the indicator that talked about a growth model, and that growth model was, again, our kids performed and increased like they were supposed to, and our teachers.
Now, those are lower performing students, right, in that third category, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. And so what you have is that growth model between our lowest and our top, and they did great. So what our teachers did and what we focused on that first 2 years was academic achievement. What we missed was the index four, and the index four is totally in our control as a district, and that was the fourth standard was the post-secondary readiness, or the high school. It's a high school only, and we missed it because we have a lack of accountability in our areas of data entry. And when we looked at that, we look and we say, wow.
What do you mean lack of accountability and data entry?
What we're doing, our policy, legal policy, says that before you can take a student off of the recommended plan. Now, the recommended plan for the listeners is that which anybody can, you have to be on that plan. That's like the default. And in order to go to the minimum plan, you have to have, by policy, you have to have a parent meeting with the principal, the counselor, and the student. And we did not do that in 11-12. Now, this indicator goes back to my first year. And that 11-12 year, we did not follow the district policy.
That is a basic policy.
That is a basic
How
policy.
How does that happen?
We have a lack of accountability, lack of oversight.
This is their job.
That is their job. And we've got the safeguards put in place now. And this is not an index that Bryan had. Since 1995, people know that you don't take students off of the recommended plan. And so what we've done is we've taken them off the recommended plan. We've investigated it. We've done an internal investigation. I've got a gentleman coming in today that's going to do a complete internal audit on all of our transcripts. These students in 11-12, which was 2 years ago, many of them were put on the minimum plan prior years. So we've got to fix that. And now we've gone back in our audit, and we have found that we had students that were coded incorrectly, that we have students that actually graduated on the recommended plan that were coded minimum plan. And so what happens now is we're going to appeal this decision. We feel like that we have a standard and a reasoning to appeal it. We feel like we're going to get it.
To see how much it was not being done. Let's say that there were 27 students on a campus that needed to have this parent-teacher meeting. Did five of them have the meeting, or did none of them have the meeting? Or were we talking zero?
No, we're talking about 50%.
Okay.
Roughly 45 to 50%.
And who's the person on the campus who's supposed to plan that?
Well, that goes back to the campus administration at Always. I mean, campus
administration.
The principal? Well, the principal, the counselors, and all the way up to... assistant superintendents, superintendents. I mean, we're to follow policy. I mean, it's just that simple.
But in this particular case where they didn't follow the standard, where they didn't have the parent meeting, for instance, to put this child on that track, does that fall upon an assistant principal or a principal, or is there somebody who's really charged to do that on each campus?
Well, ultimately, it'll be the counseling, because the counselors are the ones that are going to see that ultimate plan. They're the ones that are going to have that default. Now, what I want to go back and also say is these plans were put in place before I got here, but it doesn't matter. That's not acceptable. What I want to say is that Bryan ISD previously had been dinged, if you will, for not having a higher graduation rate. And so what some of these principals were doing was looking at these students and saying, okay, and these counselors were going, okay, in years past, we had a lower graduation rate. And so we're going to make for sure that these students graduate. Mm. And so they had bumped them down to that minimum plan. Mm. And so it's just that ideal that we are trying to catch up instead of looking ahead. And so I don't think that any one counselor, I don't think that any one principal did anything maliciously. I don't think they did anything that would make them feel like they were breaking the law. I don't think they were looking out in their minds for the best interest of the children. That's what we do.
They cooked the books. Is that about right?
Well, they did what they thought was best at the time.
It doesn't mean it's right, though. Okay, so now, obviously, then you have things in place. And tell me what Absolutely. This auditor will do. What will this person who's coming in to audit, what will they
the
do?
The auditor will go in. He will look at each one of our students' folders, or their CUME folders. We'll look and make for sure that we have them on the right plans. We'll have training put in place for our counselors in order to make for sure that they have the right training in order to put the students on the right plan. Because you know, with House Bill 5, we have a new thing called Foundation Plan with distinctions. And so we'll make for sure that we have all the training and possible for our counselors and for our administrators and teachers to ensure that they're on the right plan.
Dr. Tommy Wallace, the superintendent of Bryan, joining us today. One of the things that you'd said in response to this report from the TEA is that you have implemented what's called the Bryan model. Kind of give me an overview of what the Bryan model is.
The Bryan model, when you look, Bryan ISD is 75% economically disadvantaged. When we came in, we are 52% Hispanic, we are 22% Anglo, and we are 20% African American, and the rest what they consider other,
okay,
mixed racial, whatever
right.
whatever they're coding.
Uh-huh.
When we came in the first year, we looked and we had just had to go through, the board had just gone through the process of eliminating some positions for the budget cuts that last biennium. So we had some areas that were cut that would have helped us out academically. So what we've done on this Bryan model is now we have given each one of our campuses instructional type coaches to help go through those classrooms, help our principals see what's going on in that classroom, and then give feedback and give instructional support to those teachers, because many of the schools in Bryan are a little bit smaller. We don't have just large elementary schools, and so the principal is really the only person on that campus for the past 2 years. And for them to do all the administrative work, the ARDS, the LPACs, for all those people in listening world right now, that just meetings to take care of issues that the state gives us, the federal reports and things. So we've given them that extra assistance now so people can get into the classroom, because what we're focused on in Bryan right now is academic achievement. Our board just got finished with our board goals. And through that, our board goal is, number one, you're going to, as a district, we're going to continue to focus on academic readiness for our children. And we are. And the past 2 years, we have done that. And the Eagle report that came out, it says we were misleading. Well, no, we weren't misleading. We were very upfront and open. Our new communication director, who's with us near, Brandon Webb, sent out a press release prior to the report even being sent out publicly, and said we did not meet the standard, but we did meet all the academic standards. And there are people out there that wrote, well, you're misleading. No, we're not misleading. We're taking this head on, and we're not making excuses for it, and we're going to fix it. But what we focused on the first 2 years, going back to your original question, is I focused in on academic achievement. And those goals have now been met, and we're not even close to where we want to be, but we're going to continue to focus on academic achievement.
How many coaches have you hired?
The coaches themselves, I don't know the actual number. Each school has a minimum of two. Depending on the economically disadvantaged ratio, we have a formula put in. Some have two, some have three. At the middle schools, they have three. So we have a minimum of two.
Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned House Bill 5. Obviously, not all of the funding came back, but quite a bit did. Tell me how that's going to impact BISD.
I think it's going to help us tremendously. We just adopted a balanced budget. I think that's great. One of the things that we're most proud of, as I said, talking about building relationships, those relationships are not just those in Bryan, but there's those relationships in Austin. And this past year, I spent a great deal of time in Austin lobbying, talking to legislators. I testified for 9 hours on the school funding issue, and we got about $4.7 million this biennium. And I really feel like that legislators have listened. I think that this has probably been the best legislative biennium in terms of legislators and lawmakers listening to what we were actually saying. So we got about $4.7 million more, which helped us balance our budget. And so I think that financially, Bryan has done well, but I think House Bill 5 and some of those things are going to require some additional resources, and we were allowed to do some of those with that $4.3 million.
Politics always has to play a part in everything. C-SCOPE is something we're hearing a lot of politicians talk about now. And is C-SCOPE used in BISD? First, give us an overview of what C-SCOPE is, and then is that used in BISD?
Well, the C-SCOPE is a curriculum document, a curriculum program, if you will, that many smaller school districts use. And there are a few larger districts that use it. I will tell you that, number one, we don't use C-SCOPE. But C-SCOPE is not a bad curriculum. C-SCOPE is not a bad, it's not something that's evil. It's not something that is out there. When you look at the lessons and you look at the TEKS that the state of Texas have given us, those things that C-SCOPE has required us, or excuse me, that the TEKS have required us to do, C-SCOPE has addressed. I've looked at some of the lessons. I don't see that there's anything wrong with it. I think that C-SCOPE is a really good thing for some smaller districts that don't have that curriculum support staff in their district. So I think that it's gotten blown out of proportion. I think it's actually, I've talked to superintendents that have it, looked at it, and I think that's turned into one of those little witch hunts, personally, that I don't think it's all has merit. I think there's some lessons in there that maybe could be tweaked, but out of the, my gosh, 15,000-16,000 lessons in that entire C-SCOPE curriculum, there might be two or three that may be inappropriate, that maybe need to be looked at and reviewed. But as far as saying the entire C-SCOPE is something that's evil, I disagree with that. And you talk to auditors, and they will tell you that if C-SCOPE, the auditors I've spoken to and the auditors that these other superintendents have talked to, have all said that if everything was aligned like C-SCOPE, your curriculum would be pretty much aligned. So we don't use it. Our curriculum's aligned, but this is what some superintendents have told me. I think it's I don't think it's quite as bad for smaller school districts.
Yeah. Bryan ISD Superintendent Dr. Tommy Wallace with us. Before coming here, you had a reputation that you could get bond issues passed, and it sure looks like Bryan needs some. Report that you've gotten, these are pretty significant numbers, because, I mean, we've got $78 million that I believe the architectural firm said are must do,
yes.
$146 million that should do.
Right.
Obviously, we didn't get into that situation overnight.
That's correct.
And we're not going to be able to solve it overnight.
You're right.
So tell me what you think the best way to address those needs are.
Well, first off, when you look at the architectural review that we received, I don't know how many pages that is. That must got to be at least 20,000 pages. It's huge.
They said it was 6 inches thick. I know, and Bill said he didn't get a copy of it because there weren't very many extras. That's
no,
for sure.
And we'll be happy. I think Bill actually asked if there was one online, and we'll give you an online
okay.
version. But, you know, what's happening, Bryan, is we have, because of financial implications, historically we have had to go and buy buses, or we have had to go and do this or that for an instructional side. Some of our facilities are aging. Some of our facilities are probably not where they need to be as far as the standard goes. Stephen F. Austin Middle School has it's old, and it's got close to 900 kids in it, and the hallways are narrow. And so we've got several things. But what we're going to do to address this first is we are going to use additional monies. We have $1 million set aside this school year for capital projects. The monies that we saved last year, we put into capital projects. We want to show the taxpayers, we want to show the community leaders that, first off, we're going to do all we can do with the resources that we have currently before we go to the voters. We've got to look in and look at ourselves. We've taken the time to do this project and do it right with the architectural firm we've hired, and now we've got to go through. I've got a meeting today, and we're fixing to prioritize ourselves as a group what that looks like. So the next step, though, is going to be to form a facilities committee that's set up as a cross-section of all of our community members, leaders, parents, teachers, and just talk to them and say, okay, here's the report. Now, we're not going to go through every page, of course. It'd take us 10 years. But we're going to have an overview of what that is, and the document will be there for anybody to look at. Literally, we are going to put that on our website, if we can download that much onto our website, so people can see it. I mean, we need to be transparent. We need to make for sure that people see what the architectural firm has suggested that we do. Those major projects, major number one, what they categorize as number one, are safety issues. We know we've got some facilities that have so many exterior doors, Bryan High School being one of them, Stephen F. Austin being another one, where doors are just, they're everywhere, and we kind of piecemeal together that high school. And so we've got to look at those priority ones, which are safety issues, which is our number one issue, be safety.
Sure. And I don't know, how many bites is it going to take to eat this elephant, I guess?
Well, it's several bites. Yeah. The total number of the total projects, if you did everything that was found, I think is in upwards of over $300 million. Mm-hmm. There's no way we can get all that done. But there's some there's some fours in there too that are 10 to 15 year projects, and so that's if everything was done immediately, and nothing will be done immediately. All those, and there's no way except those number ones. Those are the safety issues. But threes and fours are 5, 10, 15 years down the road. They're telling us that you've got aging chillers, you've got aging roofs. In the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to have to put another roof on Campus X. Mm-hmm. So we've got we've got a long ways to go.
So we sit here. This is October of 13. When would you realistically see the first time that we might see some sort of a bond question for BISD on a ballot for the people?
Sure. It's too far down the road to even tell, because first of all, you want that facilities committee to see it. You want to hear what the people have to say. You want to hear what that group, what they come up with. The way it's set up is this facilities committee will look, make suggestions, and then they will present their findings to the Board of Trustees, mm-hmm. and then we go from there. So it's way too early to see at this point.
Well, but we got some leaking roofs.
We do. I mean, well, for instance, this year we have put two roofs. We put one on Sam Houston, and we put one on Mary Branch. They both need it. So we've got two brand-new roofs. And like I said, we've got $1 million set aside. If it's a roof, $1 million will cover a roof. And then we put some other capital projects. We've moved a program, Hammond Oliver, to Bryan High School. We've renovated that area. So we've got some renovations going on. But right now, we're doing it ourselves. And right now, we're in the very beginning processes of this whole stage.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because tax values are going up. The city is growing. I mean, we have two cities that are growing in a very vibrant way right now. And obviously, we need that, because you probably will need to get some new facilities online. I mean, some new slabs poured and things like that in the not too distant future.
Well, I think we've just finished our demographic study. We just rezoned for the high schools. Our next step will be to look. One of the things that the architects did was look at capacity of each school. And you've got some schools that are over capacity. You've got some that are under capacity. I think when those lines were drawn for elementary schools, I think they were drawn for a reason. But I think that you've seen a population shift mm-hmm. over the years. And so now you've got some schools that have portables, and while some of the other ones aren't quite full yet. So we've got to look at that first and try to get kids out of portable buildings.
What's a number that you like for middle school and elementary? What kind of number?
Oh, I think if you get anything above 1,000 middle school, I think you're getting a little too big. Mm-hmm. I think that research shows and that smaller learning communities helps with relationship building and academics. And so I think if you get over 1,000, I think that you're getting pretty large. Okay. That's a lot for a bunch of middle schoolers. 1,000 is a lot. Anywhere from 800 to 1,000 would be optimal.
Okay. Dr. Tommy Wallace is the superintendent of Bryan Independent Schools. Thanks for joining us.